We're up to the Drashot Aran, page Resh Samach in the Mosader of Cook edition, page Kuf Lamed Dalid in the Machon Shalem edition. And the Ran had discussed the biblical commandment to follow the directives of the High Court, Lotasu, do not waver from their directive, even if you as a rabbi, as one who is very learned, have come to the conclusion that they're wrong, but after arguing your case, you're out. Ruled that you're overnumbered, you're overruled, you're outnumbered, sorry. So then you have to go with what they said. And in this prohibition, do not waver from their directive, really we have two concepts. Ha'echad, firstly, we are responsible to go after their decision when it comes to the laws of the Torah. Kigon, for example, Tamei v'tohol chayav v'patur. If they say this is defiled, this is pure, in this case you're obligated, in this case you're absolved, we have to go with their ruling of how to define the laws of the Torah. V'asheni. And secondly, shelo lasum kol sigim v'taknot sheyitaknu aleinu kedei lasot siyag la-Torah. That we have to obey their institutions. Two different points within this pasuk. It leaves a lot of room for discussion. Number one, their interpretation of Torah is binding. Number two, their institutions, gzerot, takanot, are also binding. So my responsibility to follow their institutions is from this pasuk. Now that deserves a lot of work. We learned a lot about this in Maimonides and Nachmanides in the Sefer HaMitzvot, and Maimonides in Hilchot Mamrim. How do we exactly apply that? So we have two concepts within Lotasu, two distinct concepts, two different concepts with regard to my responsibility to listen to them. And very often we have to look at what they say and understand, is what they said their definition of the Torah, is what they said their institution. And sometimes it is unclear. For example, Chol HaMoed, the prohibitions to do work on Chol HaMoed, is their interpretation of the Torah? Is it the High Court's interpretation of the Torah? And then it becomes biblical? Or is it their rabbinic institution? And then it's rabbinic. Those are two of the options. ולפיכך כל העובר על אחד מהשבותין עובר בלא תעשה מן התורה. And so if a person transgresses one of the rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos, he has transgressed a biblical prohibition. And if Reshman Amtatil Machat Mechamal Etzel B'Shabbat, O Yotze B'Sandal Amsumar Kemaaseh She'aya, Lo'ochel Chelev L'Choresh B'Shor V'Chamo. Fantastic concept, he says. Obviously not everyone agrees with him. He says, there's no difference if you took a needle is Muktzah on Shabbos, and you just moved it because you didn't want it to sit in the sun, you didn't want it to get rusty in the rain. So you took a needle which is used for sewing, which is muktzah, so it's rabbinically prohibited to move that needle on Shabbos. The rabbis during a period of the Second Temple prohibited walking around with a type of sandal that had nails protruding from it. Because once there was a stampede, the masses were running, they thought the Romans were coming, and Jews ended up killing one another in the tens and the thousands from the nails in their sandals. So the rabbis prohibited on days of gathering, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, from walking around with sandals that had nails protruding from them. There was a rabbinic prohibition that said you're never on Shabbos and Yom Tov when the masses gather, so there are dangers of the masses stampeding, you are not allowed to wear a sandal that has a nail protruding from it. What's called a sandal ha-misumal. So, if you do wear that sandal on Shabbos, you're walking around the house and you feel like putting on sandals. You say, well, so the rabbi said, no, I'm doing yes. Or you move that needle, then the transgression is biblical, just like one who eats prohibited fats, just like one who would take an ox and a donkey and crossbreed or use them together to plow his field. So just as one is biblical, so too the rabbinic prohibition is also biblical, says the Ran, because the Torah says, listen to them. So we know this is a famous machlokas. Do we really say that? That every rabbinic prohibition is also biblical? The Ran is siding with the opinion that says yes. Every rabbinic prohibition is also biblical. Yes?
So he's not saying that you're violating a rabbinical mitzvah and you're also violating the Torah mitzvah. You're not allowed to disobey the rabbi. It's not like that's the biblical mitzvah. The biblical mitzvah is
I don't know. I'm not sure which way. Maybe the former, maybe the latter. I don't see that he said that yet. I'm not sure that what he's saying, because he didn't address that point. Is it a two-step or a one-step? Nowadays, needles are also mukta. You use them for things that are prohibited on Shabbos. What do you use a needle for? Use it to sew. It's prohibited to sew on Shabbos. So the needle is also mukta.
Doesn't most needles have needles?
I didn't hear you.
Doesn't most needles have needles?
Doesn't most what?
Sandals.
Sandals? Ah, that needle's okay. That's okay. That part of the sandal is prohibited. It is permitted. That's okay. Yes?
So does that imply that there aren't... Because it's not like the whole thing, if there's a suffix that goes with the rabbinical, then we lean it with the other stringent. Some of the line will go stringent on everything if you have a suffix.
Next line in the Ran. Umasham huva Talmud. So what does the Talmud mean when the Talmud says Sfeika de Rabbanan lekula? When in doubt on a rabbinic thing, be lenient, right? Why? If it's also biblical, so why am I being lenient? Ve'eminu aktanim b'shel divrayim. You have a Talmud in the beginning of Psachim. The Talmud says that when it comes to rabbinic institutions like Bedikas Chametz, so then the rabbis were willing to trust minors because it's only rabbinic. What do you mean? But we just said a rabbinic is also a biblical mitzvah. Ve'lo ha'emidu divrayim b'makom hefsed mamon. We have a rule, the Talmud tells us in Kriyatei Ksubos, that there are instances where the rabbi said, we're willing to forgo our institution rather than make a person lose money. So sometimes the rabbis forewent their institution, and mipnei kavod abriyot, the Talmud tells us in Brachos, you have the whole sugiya, that sometimes because of human dignity, the rabbi said, transgress our institution, but cover for human dignity. Umipnei uvesimchat yom tov ve'arbim komot. You have many times throughout Tractate Beitza, the Gemara tells us that the rabbis forewent their rabbinic institution in order to allow a person to have more joy on Yom Tov. They wanted you to enjoy your Yom Tov, so they said you could do this and you could do that, even though it's rabbinically prohibited, we'll permit it to allow you to have more happiness on Yom Tov. Why? If every rabbinic institution is also biblical, kol zehu mitnei shekach hitnu. That's because, remember, the biblical mitzvah revolves around what they say. So when they made institutions, they included these clauses. They included a clause, we're making an institution, but in case of doubt, be lenient. So when I'm lenient, I'm fulfilling their institution. That's okay. That was a clause within every institution. When they said, we're making a rabbinic institution, you have to do bedikas chametz, you have to check for the chametz before Pesach. And they added a clause, you could trust the minors. When they made an institution, and they said, within the institution, in cases of monetary loss, we're forgoing our institution. That was a clause. When Chazal said, mipnei kavod abriyot, because of human dignity, so all of these were built-in clauses. So even though it's true, every rabbinic institution has biblical backing. Zeudat Rambam Zal v'zikhin katuv mefurash b'sof sefer shoftim. This says the Ran is the opinion of Maimonides. Nachmanides argues on this, as we mentioned earlier, but this is Maimonides' opinion, and the Ran goes with it at this point.